Nacho Land Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the second episode of the Calcio Land Podcast of the Week. So I know we are a day late, but we're not a dollar short. Ben, this is going to be a pretty exciting episode. We're going to wrap up Higuain to Chelsea. We're recording this on Friday late morning. The deal isn't official, but it's all but done. We're going to get into how Milan is going to potentially replace him. With Serie A coming back, we have thousands of names, game picks coming. We have some Twitter questions from our listeners. And we're going to continue our Sopranos special, which we started on Monday with our friend Dan Graca. Thousand names, recast the show with all figures from Serie A. I think you'll really enjoy that. And if that wasn't enough, we are going to close the podcast with our friend Alessandro Iacobone, Milanista non evoluto, who we had last year on the Milan special. He was one of the person that broke Milan's interest at the Piatek. You guys know he's a huge Milan fan. He's going to give us his take on what's going on there. So this should be quite an exciting episode. But before we get to that, I'm joined by our great friend, the producer, co-host of the podcast, Chelsea influencer, Alex Goldberg. So Alex, this is a little bit more of a hypothetical question because at the moment, Piontek looks like the favorite to replace Higuain at Milan. But Batshuayi, and I know I'm terrible at pronouncing his name, had been offered to Milan by Chelsea as a way to move the deal along. As we know, Milan didn't want to let Higuain go without a replacement, so Chelsea offered him on loan. So I want to ask you, in your opinion, what would have been a better deal? What would be a better deal for Milan? Investing substantially in Piontek or getting Batshuayi on loan for the rest of the season without a big financial commitment? Of those two options, which one do you think would be better?
Oh, it's a really good question, David. And just like you, I'm not completely sold on Piontek because I just need to see him prove it a little bit more. So I definitely think there's huge risk in getting him permanently and kind of hitching your wagons to him. And I'm not saying there's not risk in getting Michy Batshuayi because at this point, he's really hard to figure out. He's in Ligue 1 at Marseille and he does really well. He goes to Chelsea, can't get on the pitch. He goes to Dortmund on loan, he does really well. So he's definitely hard to figure out. But if it was just a loan, I feel like that's the better deal than getting Piontek permanently because I do think there's a 50% chance Michy Batshuayi could make good on that move and actually could succeed at Milan. He does have a mentality I like in a striker, and I'll get more into in the next question about what he's actually like. But think about it. He knows that Chelsea's really excited about Gonzalo Higuain going to the Blues at Stamford Bridge. And he might think to himself, well, fine, I'm going to show them that the better striker is here at Milan, or I'm going to show Milan fans that they're actually getting just as good of a player, if not better. I think Batshuayi at this point, he's doing the merry-go-round with leagues, so he might just actually succeed this time. It might be he doesn't succeed, then he does succeed. He doesn't succeed, then he does succeed. But I think there is less risk, honestly, in getting Michy Batshuayi on loan than hitching your wagons permanently to a player in Piontek who does have great potential. But David, just like you, at least I think I'm not speaking for you, I'm not sold on Piontek. So I would say slight edge, better move would be getting Michy Batshuayi on loan. What about you?
So for me, I go back to the fact that so many strikers have struggled at Milan since Ibrahimovic left. So you could maybe make the case that it's not really so much the striker that's the problem. It's what's around him. Like I remember when we talked about Higuain's time at Milan, you know, there was a lot of talk about him not getting service. And in some of his best games, and I think the one against Roma towards the beginning of the season, everyone was praising Higuain for being both a trequartista and a striker at the same time. So playing kind of both the roles. So to me, if you think the problem isn't so much the strikers, what's around them, it's much smarter to get Batshuayi on loan. A gamble on him, hope that between him and Cutrone, you have enough to finish in fourth place. And you don't take a big, you know, you don't take a gamble on Batshuayi, you just take him on loan and see what happens there. If he pans out, then you have a very good chance of signing him permanently. With Piontek, we have an excellent half season. scored most of his goals against Provinciali types. And look, that might sound like a slight, but that is actually really important. That's usually, in a lot of ways, what gets you to the Champions League is those sorts of goals. But when I look at Milan's financial situation, gambling on Piontek, maybe they're not in the position to do it, especially because they already took a gamble on Paqueta, who so far looks good. So to me, that's a lot of money on two young players who, yeah, have a pretty good track record, but I don't know if this is the right time for Milan. So to kind of give you, though, a counterpoint on Piontek, I had my friend on Di Marzio's life based in Genoa, Marco Bovicelli. We've asked him to describe a couple of players in the past four, and I asked him, you know, what's your take on Piontek now that he's linked to Milan? And, you know, and Marco, who really is all about the speed, described him as kind of like a lightning bolt. And he's really impressed with how quickly he thinks on his feet and how quickly he executes. He says he gets the ball and within 1-2 seconds, he already has a shot off on goal. And even if he gets just 2-3 good balls in a match, one of them is going to go in the net, and that he also works hard for the team, goes back to the midfield. And from there, even when he's in the midfield, rather quickly, he's back in the penalty area waiting for an opportunity. And he said he's also young, works hard, and has big margins of improvement. And he said, of course, we need to see how he would do on a big team. But he's shown qualities already. So that's how someone who watches, he probably watched every single home match for Piontek, and he's watched him in practice, someone that knows him really well. So, Alex, you've watched Batshuayi quite a bit. I know you followed him not just when he was at Chelsea. So if you had to describe him to Milan fans, how would you describe him?
Well, first off, I talked about in my last answer that I like his mentality for a striker. For me, after the Alvaro Morata saga at Chelsea, mentality might be the most important trait for a striker in my eyes. I love the fact that Michy Batshuayi, unlike Alvaro Morata, when Michy misses a shot, he doesn't let it affect his confidence for his next shot. He kind of has that short-term mentality, which I think is really key in a striker. His confidence really doesn't plummet after misses. He just keeps trying to shoot, 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 which also then might bring up one of his weaknesses. In my opinion, he's a capable passer, but sometimes he does get too selfish. Not too long ago, when he was in Ligue 1 at Marseille, he finished the league season there out with 17 goals and 9 assists. That's pretty well-rounded for a striker. So I think he has the ability to pass, but I think sometimes he overthinks things or he's not keeping his head up well enough, and he is missing runs made by other wingers. And I think overall, then, his passing isn't great, but he has the capability of passing. He's not the fastest. He's certainly not an Aubameyang with pace, but he's not the slowest. He's decently athletic. I wouldn't say there's one major strength to his game, but I also wouldn't say there's one major weakness. I would say at 25 years old, though, he's a little too raw. And what I mean by that is his discipline's not great. His defensive contribution is not that great. But how much does that stuff matter if he's scoring goals? So I think he still absolutely has the potential and the talent to score goals and make people forget about maybe some of his inefficiencies. Last year when he was loaned to Borussia Dortmund in the second half of the season, he scored a heap of goals really, really quickly. And the only thing that stopped him from scoring more was an injury. And he actually has shown for Belgium in backing up Lukaku, he can be a damn good striker with better players around him. And obviously Belgium is stacked with players that Milan obviously do not have. So I think it's definitely dependent on service. And I know that was some of Gonzalo Higuain's problem with service. I mean, sure, yeah, he may have his problems as well, but he needs service. And I would say Michy Batshuayi, if he's given good service, he's going to score some goals for you. But David, I can break down his game all day, but it's actually, he's just one of the harder players to figure out because, as I said in the first answer, he does well at one team, and then he doesn't do well at the other team, and then he does well, and then he doesn't do well. But if his potential can be unlocked, you actually really do have an above-average striker. He's just hard to figure out, so Gattuso would really have to put him in the best situation to succeed. But like I said in the top answer, he still is a risk that I'm willing to take. And many Chelsea fans, when Gonzalo Higuain was maybe looking less likely to Chelsea, many Chelsea fans were just throwing their hands up and saying, never mind. Let's just recall Michy Batshuayi. Why can't he work in the system? Clearly, sorry, doesn't think he can. But there are a lot of hopeless romantics out there, including myself, that still think Michy Batshuayi can be above average striker. So I mentioned Gonzalo Higuain, David, as did you. What is the latest on El Pepita and the formula of the deal?
Very interesting. And look, we've been covering this on the podcast for a while, and I have predicted that if the deal were to happen, that my guess is it was going to be a multiple year loan, similar to the Cuadrado deal to Juve the second time he joined Juve. And it was right for about 50% of this, I would say. So the formula of the deal as it stands now, and this might change, but this is the framework, is that essentially Chelsea is taking over the rest of the loan for the season. So Higuain cost Milan $18 million. They are going to pay half of that, the $9 million for the first season. Chelsea is essentially taking over that loan from Milan. Milan had an option to buy, and Chelsea instead has an option to extend the loan next season if certain quotas are hit. I've read some other reports that if certain quota, personal quotas for Higuain, so number of games played and goals, and Chelsea goes to the Champions League as well, then it becomes a forced option to buy. That wouldn't totally shock me if that's the case. So long and short of it, I think this is a win for Chelsea, because we knew how, you know this better than me, Alex, they really don't like to commit multiple years to player over 30. So they are essentially taking over the loan, but it is a vested option. I think Juve looks at it, you know what? There's a better chance that with Sarri in a team that's going to get a much better service than Milan, I think that's undeniable, but there's a better chance it's going to work out for him then. And worst case scenario, it brings up his value there more. So I think that's Juve's take on that. So I think Chelsea ends up doing pretty well here. I've gone back to saying it. I get the reservations on Higuain, but it's not like someone like Icardi or Cavani was available in January. So I just realistically don't know how much better you were going to do than him. And again, remember, he had his best seasons ever for Sarri. This time last year, he was good enough to be Juve's main starter, and Juve was a clear contender even back then to win the Champions League. So let's see what happens there. Now, another interesting wrinkle on this deal is this opened up, you know, more talks between Juve and Chelsea. And I always like to say, a lot of these deals don't happen in a vacuum. You can't just look at it in its individual terms. So you could say Chelsea won the Higuain deal because they're getting him on loan with like a vested, not a forced option, kind of a vested option. But as part of the deal, Juve is also talking to Chelsea about Emerson Palmieri, a player that Paratici, their sporting director, really, really likes when he was at Roma. And even before then, I think Juve kind of pegged him as the guy that could replace Alexandro should he leave. And then he had injury concerns. So Juve now locked up Alexandro, but they would love to also have Palmieri. I have a feeling that's what's going to be revisited in the summer. And also as part of that deal, you know, Chelsea could get Rogerio, which is a Juve left back that Juve owns and is on loan at Sassuolo, young player that's quite good. So I guess Juve on Higuain, they don't get what they want, but maybe as part of the deal, they get Emerson Palmieri on pretty good terms, and they get to make a good plusvalenza on Rogerio. So let's see what happens. This is really a fascinating deal. I mean, if you're a transfer news nerd like me, it really doesn't get any better than this one. And I'm really looking forward to breaking this whole deal once it happens on an article and in the podcast on Monday. So I'll tell you what, Alex, let's take a little break from all the transfer talk. We are going to get to more of it with the questions from our listeners. And we have our first contributions from our friend Thousand Names. Said he asked finally back tomorrow. So Thousand Names sent me his picks. By now, you guys know the drill. He picks the three matches. I get to see what he picks ahead of time, and then I make my predictions. So we actually have some pretty good games this weekend in Serie A. This is the big match, and I think this was on Sunday. And this is Lazio traveling to the San Paolo to face Napoli. Thousand Names has Napoli winning 1-0 goal by Milik. And he says Simone Inzaghi is going to continue to lose all the matches against the top teams. He said the Napoli fans are going to be in tears to support Koulibaly. And he said Ancelotti is going to make people forget about the bomb that was put in the Pizzeria di Sorbillo. So I don't know. This, I'm sure hardly any of our listeners know about this. This is a very famous pizzeria in Napoli, a very famous owner. He's had issues with, you know, the underworld of the city of Naples. And recently there was a bomb in his famous pizzeria. So in Italian, Napoli-Lazio 1-0, Milik, Simone Inzaghi continua a perdere tutti gli scontri diretti, Napoli in lacrime per Koulibaly, Ancelotti fa dimenticare la bomba messa nella pizzeria di Sorbillo. So, this match actually has two of my favorite players going up against each other. I told you guys on Monday I'm buying all your Milinkovic-Savic stock. He's finally looking like himself, and I'm going to live up to that. I'm going to say Milinkovic-Savic is going to have a really good game. I'm going to say I'm going to give him a goal again, but I'm going to give Napoli the win 2-1, and I'm going to give goals to Milik and Fabian Ruiz. Next match, and this is the one on Saturday morning on ESPN with our friend Matteo Bonetti. Torino traveling to the Olimpico to face Roma. He has Torino winning 2-1 with goals by El Shaarawy, my boy De Silvestri, and Nkolo. And he says Di Francesco is only able to win against teams from the Serie C, which is what Roma did in the Coppa Italia. And he said that Mazzarri is going to give him a football lesson. In Italian, El Shaarawy, 1-2, Roma-Torino 1-2, El Shaarawy, De Silvestri, and Nkolo. Di Francesco vince solo contro le squadre di Serie C. Lezione calcistica di Mazzarri. I'm going to disagree with 1,000. On this one, I'm going to have Roma winning. They have been surging. A lot of their younger players and some of those that I wasn't patient enough with have been doing really, really well. Schick's on fire. Cristante has been playing well. I'm going to have Roma winning 2-0. I'm going to give Schick and Cristante, coincidentally, goals on that one. Last match from 1,000 names. It's actually an intriguing matchup because we have Genoa facing Milan. And he has Milan winning 1-0, goal by Cutrone. And he says that without Higuain, Gattuso's going to take off after what happened in the Super Cup, which we'll get into the question. And he goes, this match is part of the package for Piatek. 40 million for a bust, but Milan gets the 3 points as part of the deal. And he says, Favilli Scarsissimo, that's the Juve striker on loan at Genoa. They'll probably get playing time in the short term until Piontek is replaced, assuming the deal goes through. So interesting pick there. I'm actually going to have it as a 0-0 draw. And of course, there was a bonus track from 1,000 names. On Monday, Juve travels to Verona to face Chievo. He's not giving us a score prediction, but he points out that Ronaldo sbaglia rigore. And I think by now you guys don't even need me to translate what that means. So 1,000 names, thank you. You're going to hear shortly from 1,000 again on Sopranos. But before we get to that, Alex, we have questions from our great Twitter followers. I have some more saved up on pop culture. Just because we're doing so much on Sopranos, I'm going to do them next week. But we have some transfers, some football ones. So which ones are we going to start off with, Alex?
All right, David, let's start off with this one. What did you make of the Super Cup match between Juve and Milan?
So I wasn't able to watch most of the match, to be honest. I was at work and I've been knee-deep in transfers. But I'll tell you, for me, not a good look for Serie A. I think, you know, a lot of the reservations are one on Juve not getting the most out of their talent, Allegri, like, keeping the brakes on and Juve doing the bare minimum. We had that. We had a lot of controversy with VAR. We had controversy on referees' decisions. Not a good look. So, you know, I don't really get into referee stuff on the podcast and conspiracies. I personally don't believe in them. But, you know, when these events happen, I totally get why it stokes the flames. So I'm hoping we start having a turnaround for Serie A kind of perception as a whole. And I'll say that this match definitely wasn't a good start for them.
Yeah, David, I can tell you the whole entire Chelsea fan base watched that match because, of course, there was so much noise around Gonzalo Higuain and his quote-unquote fever and the fact that he started on the bench. So there were a lot of eyes on that game that weren't just Serie A eyes. And the takeaway was the refs and VAR, and that's not a good look. And I also echo what you kind of said about Juve doing the bare minimum. It was a classic Juve 1-0 win. It wasn't the greatest look for the league. However, Matteo Bonetti did an absolutely brilliant job on the game. So congrats to Matteo. Another good one under his belt, at least. All right, David, next Twitter question. Would Gonzalo Higuain just be better off staying at Napoli?
Yeah, and to add to what you were saying, I mean, that drama with the fever, and then there was the reports that Mandzukic could have been out for multiple months, and now it turns out it's shorter. It's 1,000 names right away tweeted, okay, this means Higuain is just going to go back to Juve to replace Mandzukic. And I know he said it as a joke, but I was like, you know what? This deal is so crazy that is it completely impossible that this becomes part of it? So I'm kind of glad that that didn't happen. But that's how crazy this Higuain deal. So, you know, this question falls under something that in the new Twitter universe, I would never tweet. It's something that I think just because, you know, the mob mentality and the blowback, it's not even worthwhile to raise this question. But I've been thinking a lot, like, you know, what would Higuain's career, what would his perception look like had he just stayed at Napoli rather than Juve exercising his exit clause? Now, I know Higuain won some titles at Juve, but this is a player that was at Real Madrid, so it's not like he's someone that never won anything. He obviously had that huge goal against Inter to give the Scudetto to Juve. I think Higuain was a very good Juventino. I'm going to say, I mean, I don't see a huge difference between his tenure and Tevez, which I know sounds sacrilegious to some, but I think people underestimate. Like, I thought Higuain did really quite well. And also in some big moments for Juve. But when I look back, he's been really unhappy for a long time. He doesn't deal well with pressure, had a lot of pressure at Juve. Yeah, he delivered the Scudetto goal, but he never delivered against the Real Madrid, the Barcelonas of the world. He was unhappy at the end of his tenure at Juve. I think people forget that long before there was the rumors of Ronaldo joining Juve, there were already reports that Higuain wanted to leave Juve. So he wasn't particularly happy there. We saw him at Milan and he looked like someone that should have booked some appointments with Dr. Melfi from Sopranos. Really, really unhappy. And in the city of Naples, he was adored. And especially staying with Sarri there, who knows? I don't know if they would have won a title. Maybe they would have last year when Napoli had all the points there, and imagine winning the title there. But I'm starting to think that, you know, big what if, it's like, geez, you know, maybe he would have been just better off staying there, especially with how things are going. So I think Higuain really has a fascinating career. You know, in 20 years, if I'm still around, like, he's definitely a player we're going to be discussing because there's so many wrinkles to, you know, his trajectory as a player.
All right, David, this is a very popular subject in the Chelsea community. And now the PSG community, what's the latest on Leandro Paredes?
So Paredes is a player that we've been asked a lot about from Chelsea fans. And I definitely get that he's more of a natural replacement for Fabregas than, say, Barella. Now, as you guys have heard, I'm not the biggest Paredes fan. And also one of my followers, Dimitri, great guy who follows Zenit, kind of described him like I did, as someone who's great on highlights, but you watch a whole game, you kind of don't get that impressed. On the bright side for Paredes, though, Juve sporting director Paratici, who definitely knows more about football than I, love him. PSG, a team that for the most part does really well on the transfer market, really likes him. So you know, the report on Di Marzio's site today is that PSG made an official bid to Zenit to sign him, while Chelsea are definitely interested. They have yet to make a bid, but they are certainly interested. So let's see if Chelsea either is going to wait till after the Higuain stuff is resolved to get really into it, or if they can walk and chew gum and do both. But I want to ask you, Alex, I know you're harping a lot on the youth and playing the youth more, and so is Chelsea Twitter. Is there a young Chelsea player that they could slot in to help replace Fabregas? And it's not like Fabregas was a starter anyway, rather than investing so much in another midfielder.
David, I absolutely love this question. This is right in my wheelhouse, and I'll make my answer short because I actually did a YouTube video yesterday on this exact situation, Paredes, and then alternatives within Chelsea. So to answer your question, kind of, yes, there is a player that Chelsea rate very highly. Ryan Giggs of Wales rates very highly. His name is Ethan Ampadu. Now, Antonio Conte did play him in the midfield last year. He's technically a center back, but he's still young. He's 18 years old, and many people see his future at either position. And Maurizio Sarri still is not fully convinced that he's a regista, and that's what he would be playing. If you're a backup to Jorginho, you're a regista. And that's definitely what Paredes is, first and foremost, a regista. Ampadu can definitely play the midfield. And earlier this week, Sarri did admit he thinks Ampadu does have some qualities to play the regista role. So he'll try it more in training, is what Maurizio Sarri said. But it does sound, and Maurizio Sarri just had a press conference, David, before we started recording, and he did remain that he still wants a replacement for Fabregas, a.k.a. a backup to Jorginho. So on one hand, he does think Ampadu is an option there, but it sounds like he's not ready to just say Ethan Ampadu is my backup to Jorginho instead of Paredes. So it really does sound like he would want Paredes, but we'll see. I'm good either way. I think Paredes is definitely a regista, but as you said, pitching this to me, I really do rate Chelsea's youth, and I do think Ethan Ampadu could handle it. So we'll see. Very, very, very interesting what's going on with Chelsea right now. So, David, next Twitter question. Which Serie A club would be the best fit for Mesut Ozil?
Good question. Now, look, I haven't watched much of Ozil. I'm much more intrigued by all the debates on him that I see on Twitter, but actually watching him play, I'm going to be honest, over the past 2-3 years, I haven't seen a ton. Now, he has been linked to Serie A clubs, especially when he had the expiring contract with Arsenal. Inter definitely considered him. The problem is he wanted huge wages, and that would have had a big domino effect on whatever offer they would have made to Icardi. If they paid Ozil a ton of money, they would have had to at least match that with Icardi. So they were out. But look, when I look at on the pitch and for what I know of Ozil, I could kind of see him fitting there pretty well. Also Milan, although let's see with Paqueta how that goes. There's a lot of people that think Juve should have more creativity, so maybe there. But I'm going to say Inter, if I had to say. Now, I know you've watched them a lot more. If you had to say, which team would you see him on?
Yeah, I'm not sure he necessarily fits in Milan's formation, but with everything I'm hearing from Milan people about their strikers needing better service, that to me screams of Mesut Ozil. Now, I've always been down on Mesut Ozil's just overall demeanor. I'm not saying he's at all a cancer to a team or he's a bad guy to have in the clubhouse. However, he just moves slow and he doesn't necessarily have a huge impact on the game, even though he's worldly talented. But I could see him at either Inter Milan or Milan. But if service is a big problem for Milan, then maybe AC Milan. So, David, moving on to the next Twitter question, and I really am starting to like this player, and I know Roma fans are as well. Who is this Nicolo Zaniolo fellow who has linked to some of the top clubs, and what is he like?
So he's the rare young prospect that I get really excited about. You guys listen to podcasts long. I'm old and cranky, and I'm like, you young fellas get so excited about these prospects. You project what you want on small sample sizes. But he is definitely not in that category for me. I fell in love with this guy kind of how with Pogba, Juve, Milinkovic, Savic, there's just something about these tall midfielders that just does it for me. I don't know what it is, but I'd heard a lot about Zaniolo. He was the key player on Inter's Primavera team last season. And, he hadn't really come up through their system, but a really good player on Italy's youth teams. Was the player that Monchi really wanted in the Nainggolan deal to make it happen. And when that deal happened, I always said, you know what, Zaniolo is the X factor. It's not out of the question that he ends up being the best player in the deal. And so far this season, that has been absolutely true. So Zaniolo got his debut in the Champions League against Real Madrid. Mancini had selected him to the Italian national team even before he played any matches for Roma, and basically created his own luck with him. And he's been really impressive ever since. Scored his first goal in Serie A, one of the goals of the season so far. But it's not just that. I know some people have compared him to Totti, and I think that's insane. You should never do that in the city of Roma. And to me, it's also because to me, his characteristics are much more like the Pogba we used to see at Juve. And guess what? Like the Pogba that we're seeing again at Manchester United. So I know I'm putting him on a pretty big pedestal, but it's not surprising to me that Real Madrid are already interested in signing him. It's just so hard to set the value for such a young player. Roma paid $4 million for him. Like hypothetically, if they were to sell him, and I really hope they don't, like I don't even know what price you set, 30, 40 million. And I just don't know, because then it's possible he becomes much more worth a lot more later on. Or it's also possible that he is the guy that small sample size, then he gets exposed. So That's a pretty good conundrum. But Roma's determined to sign him to extension, keep him at least through next season and see what happens. I actually think, you know, when we look at the Italian national team, this is someone that really help them in like 2-3 years really elevate the squad.
All right, David, let's move away from football now. Let's move back to The Sopranos. Is Tony Soprano the best TV character you ever saw?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say so. I mean, I know a lot of people would maybe say Homer Simpson and stuff like that, but I think so. You know, he created the anti-hero type that then was used in Breaking Bad, Deadwood, a lot of other shows, like such a multi-dimensional character. I've been rewatching The Sopranos again. And you look, I've seen all these episodes 10, 15 times, and it just really jumps at you, like how incredible he is. And it's really Gandolfini in that role is just amazing. Like, this might sound crass, but it's like, you know, for Gandolfini's legacy, the fact that he died, and he did a few things other than Sopranos, the fact that he died so young and that's the only thing he'll be remembered for, that's not such a bad thing for his legacy. Obviously, dying at that age is not a good thing. I mean, you look at, you know, John Hamm, who plays Don Draper in Mad Men, it's like impossible for him to do anything else because you associate him so much with that character. And to me, Gandolfini not just had the gangster part down pat, but it was really more... you know, even the scenes with Dr. Melfi, the psychiatrist's office, which I know some people didn't like, some of them were really incredible. And the actress that plays Melfi is terrible, and he still elevated her. His relationship with Carmela, I've been married a long time. They really nailed that completely. They're like the best married couple I've seen, I think, not just on TV, like, and on any movie. And, you know, you want to see how amazing Gandolfini is, like, rewatch that episode where AJ Soprano tries to commit suicide in the family's pool. Like, that scene is incredible. Like, you know, what a performance. To me, that's really what makes Soprano great. Like, the writing, the music, all that stuff that we talked about, amazing. But you take away Gandolfini, you take away Tony Soprano, and it's nowhere near on that level. You know, I always go back to what's better between The Wire and Sopranos. I'm going to say I think The Wire's better because it doesn't have, you know, bad episodes. Sopranos had a stretch where you could see that they were doing filler. It's just a perfect series, a perfect ensemble cast. But what Sopranos has is it's way more rewatchable, for one. And B, like Gandolfini and Tony Soprano is just such an engaging character. So you can it's really splitting hairs on what's better.
All right, David. Well, here's our last Twitter question. You just talked about the character from The Sopranos, but who are some of your favorite secondary characters in The Sopranos?
Yeah, so of course, the mother, who was a really important character in the first two seasons. She passed away. She was a key character, but you know, she wasn't in the whole series, so her, that's really easy. Couple of others that I really enjoyed: Artie Bucco's wife Charmaine was a tremendous character, not really related to the mob in any way, but I thought she was really, really great. One that I really enjoyed was Feach LaManna towards the later season, this older gangster that comes out of jail. Absolutely hilarious. The story of him, you know, effing someone with his shoe, this woman's absolutely hilarious. Just every scene that he's in, the one with the gardener, his beef with Paulie, just great. So those are some of my favorite. There are many others, but if I had to pick three that really stand out to me is that. So now that you've heard me, I think you're really going to enjoy what Thousand Names had to say. So when Thousand last week or 2 weeks ago, he sent me a message. He goes, "Dave, are you doing anything on Cultureland on Sopranos 20th anniversary?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." He goes, "I have to be part of it." So I tasked him with something really hard. One of our listeners asked us to recast The Sopranos with Serie A characters. And I had a few ideas, but I was like, Thousand Names is going to do much better than I. So you're going to hear that part. Him and I are going to go a little back and forth on that. And then he made a list of the most tragic comic characters on there that was really good. So thanks to Thousand Names, I think you guys are going to enjoy this segment. So we are going to continue to celebrate the 20th anniversary of The Sopranos' first episode airing on HBO on Monday, We took a deep dive with my friend Dan Graca live from New Jersey. And for the second part of our special, our Oracle, Thousand Names, last week told me he absolutely wanted to be part of this. So I challenged him to come up with a recasting of The Sopranos with Setia figure. So he sent me the list. I think it's outstanding. So I'm going to have a Thousand who is live with me, and he's calling in from Italy. So we have the Jersey and the Italy connection for The Sopranos. He's going to cast The Sopranos with figures from Setia. On some of these, he's going to explain the reason why, and I'll translate it to English. So before we get to that, bentornato Thousand, sempre un piacere averti su Calcioland.
Sempre un piacere anche per me, e in particolare il team mi sta molto a cuore.
Okay, so Thousand loves Sopranos. I know you guys that follow him on Twitter, and it's a great way to learn Italian is to follow Thousand, has been tweeting about it. So Thousand, iniziamo with the casting of The Sopranos with Serie A figures.
Partiamo dal boss, Luciano Moggi, Corrado Junior Soprano.
Okay.
Il boss attuale, Tony Soprano, interpretato da Beppe Marotta.
Okay, so we have the original boss of The Sopranos, Junior, Luciano Moggi, which to me was the very obvious pick. And a very tough one was picking Tony. I know Thousand put a lot of thought into this, and he's going with Beppe Marotta. And I think later on, when we get to another casting, you'll see why. E i prossimi quali sono?
Prima di Beppe Marotta c'è stato Massimo Moratti, interpretato da Jackie Aprile.
Jackie, Massimo, former Inter president Massimo Moratti as Jackie Aprile, who lived only for the first few episodes of season one.
E l'erede designato, Paratici, Chris Moltisanti.
And there you go. So the connection, Tony Christopher, which is a big part of The Sopranos. So Paratici, who was Marotta's right-hand man, and is now the boss at Juve. Hopefully, if you're a Juve fan, Paratici isn't going to end up like Chris.
Poi c'è l'erede mancato, Anthony Junior. Così come Cassano non ha mantenuto le premesse.
This is my favorite one. The one who could have been by blood, Tony Soprano's heir, and that's AJ. And Thousand has Antonio Cassano in his role. Fantastic. Qual è il prossimo?
Carmine Berlusconi.
So this is
Carmine Italiani.
So questo is the original Carmine, right? Not little Carmine. Questo è Carmine Lupartazzi, the original one, right?
Yes, Vittor Carmine Galliani.
Galliani, excellent. Prossimo.
Gianni Sac Sabatini per il fumo.
Yep, so those of you who remember Walter Sabatini, Roma sporting director, who was briefly at Inter and Sampdoria, a known smoker, Johnny Sack is his equivalent Soprano. Very good call. Il prossimo.
Antonio Conte, Ralph Cifaretto. Entrambi indossavano un parrucchino.
Okay, so Ralphie Cifaretto, Antonio Conte, because both of them have a hairpiece.
Girardi, ex presidente del Parma, Bobby Baccalà, per la mole fisica.
Bobby Baccalà, as former Parma owner, Girardi, who was known for being having a pretty big waistline. Prossimo.
Aurelio De Laurenti, presidente del Napoli, interpretato da Poli Galtieri. Entrambi sono molto scaramantici.
Pauli Gualtieri is going to be Napoli president Aurelio De Laurentiis. Fantastic. Il prossimo.
Un personaggio femminile, quello più in voga al momento, Wanda Nara, interpretato da Angie Bonpensiero.
Wanda Nara, who is in the headlines negotiating Icardi's extension, is Angie Bonpensiero. Excellent pick. Do you have any more? Ne hai degli altri? Questi sono ottimi.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic mi ricorda molto Furia Aggiunta, non solo per la coda.
Okay, and we have Zlatan Ibrahimovic as Furio, who both had the trademark hair in the back. Not just for that, there are some the similar hairstyle, but there are also some other parallel. Ottimo, ottimo. Ne hai degli altri? Questa è già un'ottima lista.
No, direi che per ora possono bastare.
Ottimo. So, 1000 to me, absolutely nailed this. So, let's get into another thing. So, I asked 1000 to come up with like a top 10 list. Any of you who follow him on Twitter knows that he loves tweeting out top 10 lists. So, he pitched me a subject in Italian, personaggi tragicomici. So, this is someone that's a tragic figure, but is also hilarious. So, maybe they don't know that they are so hilarious, and that's part of the reason why they are so tragic. So give us your top 10 list of the most tragicomici personaggi of the Sopranos.
Junior Soprano, Livia, Anthony Junior, Bobby Baccalieri, Janice Soprano, Chris Mortisanti, Nicky, Peach LaManna, Carmine Lupertazzi Junior, Jenny Sagrimoni.
Grandissimo. I love this list. So we're recording this on Thursday, 1000 and I. We're going to record the rest of the podcast on Friday. I'm going to see if I can have a rebuttal. So 1000, I can't thank you enough. You are such a great you create great content for a podcast. I'm so glad you gave us something on The Soprano. We look forward to more of your Serie A predictions. Ronaldo sbaglia rigore is becoming your signature. So grazie mille, sempre un piacere averti su Calcioland.
A domani per i pronostici e buon proseguimento.
Man, 1000 names. That was really, really exciting. I feel like I need to mellow down maybe a little bit with something that's completely legal and also has a lot of other health benefits. So we want to give our shout out to our great friends at BioCBD Plus. Alex and I, you've heard us talk a lot about them. Like, we really believe in these products. We use them. They're completely legal. I share them with my coworkers at my day job and have gotten great feedback. So CBD, you know, has a lot of health benefits. It's very good if you have inflammation problems, and inflammation causes all sorts of health issues. If you have anxiety, if you have trouble sleeping, it works really well. If you have aches, the oil is fantastic. I've had some colleagues that have used it after having surgery. It's completely legal. So definitely check it out. We'll tweet the link from Calcioland, but the website is biocbdplus.com. We have a discount code, Calcioland15. Definitely use it. If you have any questions, you can tweet Alex and I. Do you have anything to add, Alex, on this product? I know you're a big fan as well.
Yeah, I certainly am, David. I pretty much guarantee that you listening right now has maybe an issue with one of the following: pain, maybe you have anxiety, maybe you have inflammation, maybe you have trouble with sleep, maybe you get nauseous occasionally, maybe you have muscle spasms, maybe you have problems with your appetite, maybe you need your heart and lungs protected. Who doesn't? Maybe you need to treat and prevent TBI, okay? The BioCBD products will help you with all of that. It's very rare that the list of things I just said, you don't at least have maybe a need to improve on one of those things. And really, it will really, really work. And then if you care about your further health and you care about the health of the planet, well, have no fear. This is 100% organic hemp, no chemicals, no THC. It really is a great product to put in your body. Comes in three different products, which are all great. David and I have talked about all three. There's the total body care capsules, which are awesome. There's the topical muscle and joint oil, which David and I have talked about ad nauseum. You just put it on and boom, relief. And then, of course, the pen with the cartridge, which is so fun, easy to use. It really is great. So as David said before, we have a discount code for you listening. Our discount code, all lowercase, Calcioland15. Calcioland15 is our discount code to give you 15% off BioCBD Plus's products. They're awesome. Check them out at biocbdplus.com.
So what an episode, and we're not done, guys. We actually, you could almost say we saved the best for last, because there's a lot going on at Milan, and we have our great friend Alessandro Iacobone in Italy to give us an update. So let's end it with that. I want to thank you guys for the support. Going to get to more of your questions next week. If you dig what you hear, and this week we gave you a lot with Sopranos too, please retweet our podcast. Tell your followers about this. If you want, if you could leave us a review on iTunes, I'd be eternally grateful. It really helps with the rating of our podcast. It takes 5 seconds to leave us a 5-star review. If you leave a comment, you know we'll read it. We took action on some of the comments you left in the past. So thanks for your support.
Okay. And to cap off this very special episode of Calcio Land, we have a fantastic guest, my friend Alessandro Iagobone, who's calling in from Italy. You guys know him on Twitter as Milanista Non Evoluto. We had him on the show about a year ago when we did a special on Milan. And since then, Alessandro's profile has really risen. Actually, this podcast, he's going to be on TV in Italy, which he does frequently. And this week, he actually broke pretty big news on transfers on with Piontek being the favorite to replace Gonzalo Higuain at Milan. So we're going to get into all that, but it's always a pleasure to have him on. So Alessandro, welcome back to Calcio Land.
Ciao, David. It's a pleasure for me to be part of your podcast. As you know, I follow you, and I'm so glad and so proud to be able to communicate to your followers, because the English people that is listening like news about Milan and need to be informed like regarding all the steps, and you are doing a great job regarding all the soccer in general, but. And the Milan fans that are like following you and always tell me like that that they're very like happy for your work. So for me, it's a pleasure to be part of your podcast.
Well, thank you so much. And the respect is completely mutual. So people have seen, you know, you've been very accurate with the news, but people also know how passionate you are about Milan. And I really like that about you. So I sent you the question. Unfortunately, this period for Milan has been up and down. So I promise, though, we're going to end on a positive note, because there certainly are some positive things going on at Milan. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, we've seen Milan in the past, you know, year and a half, they've acquired players like Bonucci and Higuain, who were starters on Juve, so high caliber players that came with really, really high salaries, and they were supposed to elevate Milan. Bonucci came in, immediately became the captain. Higuain came in. A lot of people, including myself, thought he was going to end the curse of the strikers at Milan. So what do you think went wrong? And do you think the reason both Bonucci and Higuain left says more about them specifically or the current state of Milan?
But David, I would like to be honest. I do like a metaphor. Like when you do a recipe, if you put like the best Parmesan ever on the bad cooked pasta, the recipe is gonna be bad. So I don't think that is Bonucci's Higuain fault to miss like the work and with the Milan skirt. I think that is a period that is the time that is Milan is passing. That's why I push the supporter as well to don't criticize Higuain, to don't focus to criticize Higuain and just like to as a revenge. Because otherwise we don't cross this step, you know, we don't cross this problem. It's the entire AC Milan world that is like restarting. But the problem is that this kind of restart is during like 6 years. And it's not like Juventus when they were like in second division, in Serie B, and in few years, even missing like some market step like with you know, Diego and Felipe Melo, you know, the time that they spent a lot of money for nothing, like the wasted money. But they kept working with the same managers, and the same manager became like the best one, like Marotta, Paratici, and blah blah blah. So we should find the power to be focused on the property first. Wishing that the property is working in the same direction of what the AC Milan fans want. I mean, to rebuild like this this team that deserve to be put in like in the podium like in the past, because all the entire soccer world is missing AC Milan, you know, and in the Champions League competition and blah, blah, blah. So the best wish that we could do to ourselves is that Elliot is focusing to rebuild like AC Milan in the right way. Because otherwise, all the soccer players that will arrive in the future could find the same way. Because if we destroyed the one of the best, like a top player and the score player like Higuain, we can destroy everyone, even Cristiano Ronaldo, if he was like coming to Milan. So that's the most important thing. We need to focus in our problem instead of to put the problems on the shoulder of Bonucci or Higuain. This is my thought.
Very well said. I love the analogy of the best Parmigiano Reggiano, like bad pasta. And yeah, if you saw the fake Parmesan we have here in the United States, you'd be appalled. So let's talk a little.
Are you going to send your pack or regional? Don't worry about it.
Sounds good. Okay, so let me ask you about the striker position. Because to me, you know, I grew up with Milan when, you know, with the Van Basten, the Weah, the Shevchenko. We know Milan has always been, you know, all about having great strikers. And that's always been an obsession with the club. But I want to ask you, you know, why do you think so many strikers have struggled at Milan? To me, ever since Ibrahimovic left, there really hasn't been one that really stood out. They've tried a lot of different things. Different options, and none of them worked out. And I thought Higuain was going to end this streak, but he hasn't. So I want to ask you, you know, what do you think the problem is with that?
I think that Ibrahimovic that you mentioned is like the only one in the list of the soccer players that passed through AC Milan that is like is like one team, you know, represent one team inside a team. He could handle like the match by himself, you know, it's like a Superman. If you consider that he was like transforming like the other players, like the teammate, like top player, like Nocerino or the Boateng, that after that season without Ibrahimovic, they came back to be like normal players. So Ibrahimovic is like an anchor, like. Is like something that you cannot like compare to the other players. That's why I was like praying for his coming back, even with 36 years old. Like, but that doesn't matter. Like, it was like important to bring someone able to break this kind of freezing situation that in the AC Milan is going through. You know, so that's why I think that no one. No, Higuain, whatever, like all the players, the Andre Silva that is doing so well in Spain, or the other players that that were to mm-hmm. play, like for example Fernando Torres, because we, you know, like we passed through all the kind of players, like from the biggest one to the normal one, like La Padula or Destro, whatever. No one could handle. To keep like the number 9 shirt on the shoulder and everything. So it's because when it's a mess around you, when there is a fog, that fog is like so deep, no one can like find the way. Just a crazy one as Ibrahimovic, but Ibrahimovic is the one. It's probably we're gonna like meet in the next century like a new yeah. Ibrahimovic for the head, not just for the feet, for the head that he had. Like that's why. He's been the only one. And if you think about Ibrahimovic time, he was like playing with a great team. We cannot compare like that team mm-hmm. to AC Milan Rose. Like, you know, that's the basically the truth.
Very well said. So let's talk about the strikers. One that's currently on the team, Patrick Cutrone, who's been very impressive. I like to say Cutrone is Italian for makes things happen, not just goals when you need them, but has a lot of quota, works hard. And the player, you broke the news, and again, big credit to you that Piontek was the favorite for Milan, and then almost all the other news outlets in Italy followed suit. So A, do you think these two have a chance to end the streak, assuming Piontek arrives? And if you want to give us, you know, your opinion on if you think the deal is going to happen, how do you think they're going to work together? Tell me how you think the striker position is going to evolve, assuming they're both on the team.
Basically, I'm not like I'm not a coach, and I honestly don't want to be like put in the list of the people that wants to talk without have like skills for that. The thing that I can tell you is that Piontek and Cutrone have the same like attitude to see the net, you know, to see how to score, and of course Piontek is more able to go around the area, like the final area. And I mean, I would like to see him like work and fight for Cutrone as well, because at the moment, as you see, like Cutrone gave the best when it was like close to someone else that was, you know, like having the eyes of the defenders over there. Like, and Piontek is like able to be physically strong, physically like stronger than the Cutrone as well. And I wish to see him like fight and cooperate with him, like with a young couple that could have a great future. I hope that this kind of mystery like is gonna work. Which kind of recipe is gonna be sweet, you know? But in the end, we need just to find first that Milan by the player felt it, and second to see them on the field, because I mean they are not strong enough at the moment to change the way of a Similan team. Is the Similan team the total, like in the global you know idea of a Similan team that need to work together with the two players, otherwise they're gonna be wasted like all the players that we mentioned before.
Yep. So let's talk about a player who has already arrived. And I think, you know, because it happened a little while ago, he came to Milano, went back to Brazil, like Milan fans, you know, for a little while, they were saying, you know, why aren't we more active in January? But they had already made a very big acquisition with Paqueta, who's now played two matches. I think he's been fairly impressive, especially for someone that just arrived. So I have hope that this deal, you know, it came with a gamble because of the cost. But I want to ask you, what's been your impression of Paqueta so far?
I mean, like, honestly, I've been surprised. Not because I didn't, like, trust in the Paqueta's quality, but just because, like, the Brasileirão is very different competition compared, like, to European one. I was watching Brasileirão last year because on Sport Italia TV channel was, like, an exclusive of them. Like, so I was watching the competition, and honestly is like very low quality tactically and everything. So if there is a player that has like a bit more quality than the others, like you can see and notice immediately. And but Paqueta had a good approach because he was like asking the ball all the time, always standing the arm, like asking the ball and taking like keeping the head up, you know, the chin up, and try to work with the other players. So the thing is like is an amazing approach, I guess. Like we need to give him time and to don't stress him with comments and the bad vote if he will have up and down, considering that he just finished the Brasileirão, so he didn't had a real relaxing time. So we need to give time to him and pray that Leonardo's eye on the Brazilian market is being amazing and good another time after Thiago Silva or Pato or Kaká.
Interesting. I hope he definitely follows in that suit of players that succeeded there. So let's talk about the first half of the season. Tell me which Milan players have impressed you the most.
But basically two, like Bakayoko, because they started very bad. I mean, I loved the Bakayoko in Monaco, but he disappeared in Chelsea in the Premier League competition. I was talking with with one of the most important influencers of Chelsea, Alex Goldberg, and he was telling that, I mean, they thanked me, like, because AC Milan bought, like, Bakayoko. But after a while, he started, like, to work and play as, like, a wall in the center of the field. And he has a good quality with the feet. He has, like, a good mentality. He fights. He's physically strong, but not rude. Like, he's a good player, and I wish that Milan will work on to keep him, like, to Milanello. And the other player, we talk about Cutrone. Guys, this guy is so young, and he has the percent of the score that is probably better than the same Mbappé. And we talk Mbappé, or all the soccer players around the world, but we always forget that we have a soccer player that needs to improve, of course, like with technical like skills and everything. But he's a killer in the area, and it was like called like Kutrovic or Kutrinho. Probably we were like praying to buy him, and probably he was praying already in Real Madrid or somewhere else.
Interesting. I'm going to add one player that you're close to that I think's had a very good season when he was healthy, and that's Musacchio, who I was very impressed the first half of the season. Almost made people forget that Caldara was out, and also Zapata. But I'm with you on Bakayoko. Really a remarkable turnaround, and he looks to me like a player da Milan for the future. I hope they keep him, as I've been really impressed with him. So I want to ask you about the coach, Rino Gattuso, which is a very, you know, there's a lot of varying opinions on Gattuso. I think it's safe to say he's been the most successful Milan coach since Allegri left. He's dealt with a lot of turmoil, to say the least. So I want to ask you, what has been your impression of Gattuso this season? And would you like for him to coach the team next season?
As my followers know, like I love Gattuso. I love Gattuso for his Milanismo. I love Gattuso for the way that he's a man. Like, he's talking always straight. He's looking in the eyes. He's not like acting during the TV shows. Like, or the, you know, when they do question after and before the match, he's not like lying. He's always saying the truth. Sometimes this is the problem. And in the world that is a fake world, where the people is smiling in the front and is kicking your ass in the back, probably is like a kind of hacker, you know? So that's why the people doesn't like him, or mostly, or the journalists criticize him for the way that he talks. Probably he's not the best Italian speaker ever. But anyway, I know that the team and the soccer player did the best for him, and that's the most important thing when you don't have like high quality and top players player. So you need to take the best from the medium like level player that you need and you have and you must to manage. So that's why I would like to give him like the chance to have a great team as well. So with the real top players that I wish Elliot is going to buy in the next years. And considering the mathematics, if you consider the statistic, like he's doing very well. So even the numbers, they don't go against Gattuso. Of course, he has to improve. He just started to be like a top coach for a top team. It's the first experience. So we should give him the time, but first of all, give him a real player to show to everyone that is the right person to drive and to manage AC Milan.
So let's close on this. Last time we had you on was the midway point of the Chinese era. We now have the Elliott Fund. I think, you know, made a lot, you know, we brought in Leonardo, Maldini, Gazzidis. You know, you talked about at the top how important it is that, you know, it always starts really at the top and the management. And I'm completely with you. I think that's what made Juve what they are, and you probably have some things to add or what you is what they is, but let me ask you, how optimistic are you about the Elliott Fund, Milan under the Elliott Fund? Do you feel good about the future? Because you're not only someone who covers Milan very well, but people know how passionate you are about the team. So do you feel pretty optimistic about the future?
I'm optimistic because the potential of Elliott Fund is like huge, without any limit. But we need to also to consider that Berlusconi was one of the most important and rich men in the entire world. And when he decided to not invest anymore in AC Milan, he quit and he transformed AC Milan, the top team, in the first, the most important, the most winning like team in the world, in the one of the average one that we can unfortunately see and watch on the TV right now. So it's most, the most important is like to program the future and to be focused on investing like on this team, because AC Milan is like, I do another metaphor, it's like an old, very, very classy and old car that is being found in a box because the owner left it like for a while. It needs to be restored. Like you need to put money to make it shining again, you know, to make it like beautiful again, in order to go around the city and show to the people your beautiful vintage car. If you keep it in the box, it's going to waste time and money, you know? And I don't think that is like the way that Elliott want to like use this kind of car, a Milan luxury car. I think that it's time to put the hand in the pocket, take the money and invest in the right way, in the right soccer that are like able to create a future. So I'm agree with Gazzini's theory to buy young soccer player, but not young and unknown, young and very top player for AC Milan, because we need to improve quickly, because we waste too many years already, and unfortunately the people and the AC Milan supporter wants more, wants quickly, and they deserve it. I don't want to blame them like because they are like criticizing every day, because I understand that they are really tired, as I'm tired, and all the supporters of AC Milan are tired. We need to come back in our dimension as soon as possible, because the entire Milan world deserves it.
Absolutely. So, Alessandro, you are the king of the metaphors. The first time you were on, you had a great metaphor on the gioielleria in downtown Milano. Tonight, you dropped some excellent ones. You're a great guest. I can recommend our listeners follow you on Twitter at nonevoluto. A lot of great stuff on there. You've been breaking transfer news, but it's your passion about Milan that I enjoy the most. So it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on Calcioland again.
Thank you, David. I'm going to try, considering that there are like a lot of English people like speaking, like following me and following you. Like I promise that I try to translate as much as a tweet I can, in order like to help the people that doesn't speak Italian to understand and to get all the news in the same time without wait the translation. Anyway, like, thank you very much for the invitation. It's always a pleasure. And keep following you as a crazy, because you're the best.
Well, thank you so much, Alessandro. I'll talk to you really soon. Ciao.
Ciao.